Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me once again Ivan Bebb, the Executive Chairman of RN Resources. You know, the most important consideration when you invest in any company, it's management, the quality of management with regard to the quality of RN Resources management. The proof is in the pudding, as they say. Ivan Bebek and his partner, Sean Wallace, have had a remarkable amount of success for a couple of still pretty young guys. The RN team brings with it not only a huge amount of geological competency and skill sets from people that worked with major mining companies in the past, but they also have a way around the financial realm. And being able to structure deals, structure their companies with the right kind of owners of the companies to start out is very, very important. And then, of course, success breeds success. And the successes that Wallace and Ein Bebek have had give confidence to investors in the future. And so they are able to raise capital very efficiently. They've done a very, very good job, and they've had a couple successes in the past. There was the Caden Resources, which was sold in a bear market, and a very not a good market at all, to Agnico Eagle for $205 million. That was during that horrendous bear market in 2014. And then they also found Stratton Resources that Sean Wallace and Ivan, Stratton Resources, and they co-founded Keegan Resources, now Asanko Gold. So those have been extremely successful companies, and now I think they're back to the biggest and best of all, in my view. At least I think it has that potential at RN Resources. Before I say hello to Ivan, let me just mention that RN Resources trades in Toronto and New York on the New York Stock Exchange under the symbol AUG. Under both exchanges, that's the symbol. 77 million shares, U.S. earlier today, U.S. $2.29, giving it a market cap of $176 million. And in my way of thinking, the stock's been a bit soft lately, and I see that as an opportunity, and have taken an opportunity to add to my position. Thanks for joining me again, Ivan. It's really good to have you with me.
No, thank you. It's a real pleasure to be back.
Always good to have you. I know that you're tired as can be. You've just spent, you said before we went on the show, some 60 meetings over the last week or so with different people at two different conferences there in Colorado. But anyway, I'm sure you're a young guy yet. You still have a lot of stamina, so let's get going on Nunavut. First, I'd like to ask you, how are things going with that project? You talked to us about it the last time. It's taking a long time to get assays back. You've gotten some back, but give us an update on Nunavut. How is that going?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think we're all facing the same. If you talk to a lot of the juniors at these conferences, everyone's facing the same backlog. And where the delay is the delay is in the sample prep. So we actually ship our assays to Vancouver, and then they ship the samples out to Thunder Bay to prep the samples, then they ship them back to ALS in Vancouver, and that's happening not just for us, but for a lot of juniors. Nothing that I'm proud to boast about, but it's a good sign that the market's getting busy again, and there's life back in the space, and we're headed towards the bull market for juniors. What we've announced so far is about 12,000 out of 30,000 meters of drilling. Two of those targets that we've reported on, one called West Plains, where we ended some holes in 7.5 grams per ton over a meter and a half, and we hit some 5 and 6 gram rock. That's a spectacular target that has a lot of room to grow at depth. The whole discovery holes so far around that target are within 120 meters from surface, and they're running anywhere from 3 or 4 grams up to 10, 11 grams. So something that I think was missed a bit by the market, but it's the first target that we've gotten back. And we didn't drill these targets in sequence of the best targets. We drilled them in the most logistical sequence based on weather and access that we were dealing with. So the second one that we announced, and this one I think was a tremendous miss by the market, but obviously it's going to take a bit more data to give people the confidence that we have internally, was the Aivik discovery, spelled A-I-V-I-Q. A couple things about this discovery. One is it's 12 kilometers away from the Three Bluffs deposit, which is 1.2 million ounces of just under 8 grams per ton. It also has $27 million of infrastructure at the Three Bluffs area. So you're 12 kilometers away. If I quote Michael Henriksen, our chief geologist, and you asked him, Michael, where would you want to find your discovery if you could ask for one part of the entire belt, this would have been the target because it's the closest to existing infrastructure. And what that's going to enable us to do, Jay, it's going to enable us to drill in March, which we were just discussing at these Denver conferences that we're at, and which will be a lot sooner than what the market may have anticipated. And as we get organized, we'll have an announcement to let people know. But here's our ambition, and here's why we're really keen to go drilling and what the market has missed. We drilled 12 meters of 4.7 grams, was roughly the drill bit, or the drill intercept, and we intersected a shear zone. We weren't targeting shear zones on the belt. We knew there was a possibility they could be there because we were told by some very smart people. However, we were targeting banded iron formations. Mm-hmm. For that reason, you go and look at what we drilled. There was the 12-meter intercept running about 4.7 grams. 3 meters of it ran 18 grams. So we achieved the most important thing, which is grade. The area that we drilled it has about an 80 to 100 meter wide envelope of shearing and fluids and gold fluids in the shear zones, albeit there's some smoke around it because it's 0.2, 0.3, 0.5 grams per ton, but it gives us the confidence that we didn't just intersect a vein. We actually hit a real shear zone that has real width potential on it. Now, whether we drill 12 meters of 4.7 grams or 12 meters of 20 grams per ton, you know, I don't think the market reaction would be much different, but that wasn't the most important part about the hole. If you look in our presentation or in our maps and in our press release, where we drilled this was on a 7 kilometer long projected shear zone, which has a tremendous amount of gold and tills and gold boulders shedding off of this this big structure. So that's where we get really excited. It's 7 kilometers long, of an area where the ice direction was moving from south to north. On the other side of the shear zone, you can see these pinkish areas, which are representing plus 5 grams per ton in boulders that we believe were sourced right to the shear zone. And if you look where the actual fence we drilled across the shear zone, it's right in the heart of where a lot of these boulders were coming from. There's a few areas that stretch across the 7 kilometers, but a real obvious location of source. We drilled it. We've got the first hole. Now, we've been showing people an example of a diagram of one of the early holes at Musselwhite. And if you know Musselwhite, well, it's one of the largest, richest gold mines in Canada, owned and operated by Goldcorp. And the first hole there in one of their main zones was 3 meters of 5 grams. So, and a lot of people would have walked away from that. Shareholders would have been highly disappointed. But look at what you would have missed if you'd moved on. The type of systems that we're in, they're going to have both impressive high-grade widths, and they're going to also have narrower holes with lower grade. They're very erratic, whether it's a shear zone or a banded iron formation. If you look at Three Bluffs, you know, we drilled 10 meters of 4 grams. You know, how is that any different than 12 meters of 5 grams? Although one's a banded iron formation, one's a shear zone, they both represent one common denominator, and that's that they could scale up to be another 5 or 7 million ounce or maybe bigger type of deposit up there. And why I can say that with some confidence on the IVIC discovery is because it's on a 7 kilometer long shear zone, which is shedding gold, you know, in the 5 gram range, you know, north of it.
Well, that's really exciting, and you can get in there as early as March, which is, that's a pleasant surprise to hear that. Wow, you're looking at some huge targets there. Well, they have to be huge, as you pointed out before, the Committee Bay project, given its location, but the fact that you do have some good infrastructure there close to this target, big plus, I guess. And so, we'll certainly be keeping our eyes on Committee Bay and what you've got coming and the drill results. When do you expect them, the next batch?
So we have next batch, I think, will be out next week. And then we have 12,000 meters to come from Homestake. And then those results will start in October. And then our drilling in Peru starts on first week of November is the anticipated time right now. So we're not going to hit the seasonality factor of the market, which a lot of northern juniors would hit. You know, drilling up north, you can't drill to the new year. And, you know, drilling in March at Committee Bay on the back of the IVIC discovery, and there may be more. We'll see how the rest of the results come out.
Sure.
But drilling here this early, there'll be a slight cost, but it's so close to Three Bluffs, so it won't be that badly. But what we need to show the market is we need to show that we can drill underneath this hit. This hit was very close to surface. It was about 40 or 50 meters from surface, which is basically at surface. We need to drill underneath it, and we need to drill beside it, and we're going to use an RC rig this time, which has a lot more depth capabilities, and it will be 43-101. When you go up to Committee Bay, you drill 30,000 meters across 300 kilometers on 18 targets, you generally will be very pleased if you get a response, as we have so far in IVIC, and I think there'll be a few more. What you also get is a one-dimensional answer, and I think it's going to be important for the market to see the second and third dimension. Second dimension would be to drill deeper underneath that hit to see the continuation of the pod that you've intercepted, as well as to step out a long strike on either the left or the right of that hit as well to show that it has width as well. If we can demonstrate that in March, I think a delayed reaction where there could be a potential major discovery becomes bona fide, and I think a lot of the market starts to pick up and understand it aggressively. You know, that being said, Jay, I'll finish on this note, is that, you know, we're sitting here with a lot of anticipation and anxiety over the remaining results that are to come out of Committee Bay, as well as that of Homestake. And I say this with a lot of excitement and encouragement. As far as the soft share price that everyone's seen in the last week, I'd pick on a little bit of a seasonality for gold equities. I see it across my entire portfolio, not just with our company, and I'm not fazed by it at all. I'm not fazed by it for two reasons. One, because I can see what we're getting into in Committee Bay. That gives us the first discovery. The confidence level internally has gone way up that will deliver a huge success there. And secondly, I see that as an opportunity, as you said, to be buying. You know, obviously we can't trade our stocks with results coming, but I've been a buyer of lately, and that's just more of, you know, wanting to own more knowing that we're onto discovery.
Well, yeah, Homestake project has certainly been one of my favorites in your portfolio. How much drilling are you doing there, and when might we see some assays out of there?
Yeah, so I think 12,500 meters is what we're able to do this summer. Mm-hmm. And we got on the project for the first time in July. And for those of you that are not familiar with it, it has about, if you model it this way, about 1.4 million ounces of 7 grams or 1.1 million ounces of 9 grams gold equivalent. It's in the Golden Triangle. We all just saw what happened at GT Gold, you know, a little bit north of us in the Golden Triangle. Things that you get in there can get exciting very quickly. And as there is quite a few ounces there to start with at a very high grade, you know, it gives us a lot of encouragement and that we might be able to answer the most important question. It's not a necessary question, but it's an important one for value creation. It does Homestake get bigger? And what we're showing people in a video that will soon be posted on our website, and I'll email you when it is, we're showing people what a lot of the rock looks like, you know, pre-assay. And normally we wouldn't be a big fan of doing this, but what we've demonstrated in our presentation so far is we've hit a lot of fluid pathways. Mm-hmm. The rock looks very similar to the rock that has the high grade there that's existing. And these are all step outs. These are all, let's see if there's anything more versus defining or drilling what's there in place. And so, you know, I'm excited by the rocks that we've seen. We stepped out pretty extensively on the big main zone, where I think the best hole was 73 meters of 20 grams. We've gone 500 meters north across a valley where a glacier had receded. And, you know, we're drilling a big panel of rock, and we've put about four or five holes into it. If these things start to come back with some precious metals in them, then we're going to be on to another major discovery in the triangle. So a lot to look forward to, a lot to be excited about. And for sake of timing, I'd say the first week of October, you know, first 2 weeks of October is a very realistic time to start seeing the results. That's our hope based on the assay labs and how they're delivering results right now.
Wow, that's good. And will the Homestake, I guess you don't drill there through the winter, and not this winter anyway, huh?
No, we wouldn't drill there until next summer, much like anyone else in the Golden Triangle. You are limited by season. But the good news is, as we're all waiting for results to come back from that program, trench results will be coming from Peru, followed by drill results of drilling that will start taking place November 1st. And that will be continuous right through the March program that starts at Committee Bay, which will be followed by a summer program in both Committee Bay and in Homestake next year. And so it's really intense what we're up to, but it's going to bring a lot of value for us going forward. We're very confident of that.
Yeah, you've got several projects, I think three or four of them, I guess, in Peru. And which one are you working on now, and what do you expect to accomplish there with this drill program?
So we're working
on this program. You're trenching and drilling, I guess.
Yeah, we're working most active on Huiacoyo. It's the first one that we've achieved our community agreements on, and we've applied for our drill permits. So we have full access to that property. It will be followed by Sombrero and then Baños del Indio, which are both in mature stages of negotiating the community agreements, and we anticipate having those in the near term. But Huiacoyo has about 150,000 ounce non-43-101 oxide resource on it. And what we're doing there is we're drilling, stepping away from that main resource, and we're working our way to see what could be there. And our target would be 1 to 2 million ounces of oxide in this initial target. There's two other targets that exist. The southern portion of Wiekoyo has about 1.8 kilometers long of plus 50 ppb in soils, which is very significant for the region. And it's never been drilled or trenched or touched by anyone else, but it's something that we're grooming for a drill-ready stage in the new year, as well as something called Tacora Sur. Tacora Sur was a recent acquisition that we made. We were very keen to make it ahead of the starting of this drill program, much like a few other things we're working on in Peru. Tacora Sur has about a 2 kilometer long, 400 meter wide, high sulfidized mineralized zone, some beautiful looking rocks and veining that is on strike from the main zone that's been previously drilled at Wiekoyo proper, which is where our drilling is going to start. So what we're doing there, Jay, is we're really opening up the potential for multiple, you know, 1 million to 2 million ounce oxide deposits to occur. We have power lines and water within 500 meters and roads 500 meters right to the property, roads right on the property. So the accessibility and infrastructure is extremely, extremely advantageous. So when we talk about finding something here, you got to think very low cost, very high margins, very good profitability because of location and access to infrastructure.
Yeah, always very important consideration, of course. Well, how is your, you know, how's your financial situation now? Do you have enough to take you through your existing programs or the ones that you're planning?
We have enough to take us right through the end of the year, which would include the drilling that we're going to start at Wiekoyo, and we have enough to cover our G&A through the end of next year. We will need to raise money, but we still have 30,000 meters of results coming, but we certainly don't need to raise any money this year. We would likely anticipate doing that in the new year sometime in Q1. And we don't have to raise the money for the whole portfolio in one transaction. We can be very clever and very anti-dilutive of how we do that and pick strategic partners, whether it be financial or corporate partners like we did last year, and work towards that kind of a model. I can say this much, that we've been getting a lot of interest for financing by a lot of very good investors, and we're just not ready to do that yet for the obvious reason that we want to see what comes out of the balance of the 30,000 meters of results that are pending.
Yeah, I would just like to say to my listeners that, Ivan, you are one of the larger shareholders, I believe, individual shareholders anyway, and your management team owns shares. I think it's always good to be aligned with the management, that the management's aligned with our interests as shareholders. And I can also say that I really have admired your ability to raise capital efficiently and in a non-dilutive manner. Which also is very, very important in this business, in this exploration business, as maybe newcomers, investors aren't aware of it, but it's something you really have to be aware of, and I think it's one of the reasons you've been so successful. Anything else you'd like to tell us today before we conclude this discussion?
Yeah, I'll reflect a little bit on the Denver conferences, because
we had
so many meetings, and we got to see investment funds or institutional investment funds, as well as the mid-tier and the major mining companies. What was a remarkable change in this year from last year was the amount of corporates that juniors were meeting with. There was a tremendous amount of interest, and I think it's a real big tell. And if you look at the way Goldcorp invested into us earlier this year, there's a lot of anxiety amongst the corporates, I think, to start finding a path towards growth. And because there's been a 6-year downturn, looking back to when we sold Kaden, where nobody was really finding anything, I think that anxiety is probably built. They're not ready to transact today. I don't think you'll see M&A overnight, but they're trying to get organized to see where discoveries could come from and who offers the best pipeline of exploration towards where they're going to go. The theme of the market was extremely busy. You know, there was a lot more one-on-one meeting spaces that being occupied. They were taking up lobbies at Beaver Creek that were generally used for, you know, walking through to between meetings with booths where you could meet. So the attendance was way up this year, which just tells me that the general macro picture for gold is very positive. The better gold performs, the better chance that majors are going to have to grow. Then it makes things like Orin, you know, a lot more palatable towards a similar event that happened with Kaden. And the final note, Jay, that I'll make, and it was the question that I got asked when we were discussing in the last meeting, was I was kind of getting asked about the comparison to where we were with Kaden and the business model of Orin. And Sean and I were sitting there and we're saying, Orin has the equivalent of 10 Kadens in one company. And I could go through this over, you know, a good 45 minutes of your time, which I won't today.
Yeah.
It will likely fall through the same process that Kaden did. And the biggest difference between us and Kaden is the scalability of all of these things are much larger than what we were finding at Kaden. But when I say that, I'm referring specifically to the confidence we had when we stepped on foot on Kaden's ground. And what I'm saying is to also the scope of what could grow over time, you know, what we felt and then the transaction that happened. So I think we have something that's really never been done before, not as an active portfolio altogether, and it's certainly getting a lot of respect from the right people at this conference.
Well, it is exciting, no doubt about it. That's why you're one of my top picks. So keep up the good work. We'll really look forward to keeping up with you, Ivan. Thank you so much for your time, and all the best to you and your team.
Appreciate it very much, Jay. Look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.